The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
I'm Sasha Greenville, a member of this congregation. On behalf of Reverend Dave Dunn, our religious exploration leader, Lexi T. Brown, music director, Alex Peach, and our talented ladies ensemble of the Human Choir, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I welcome you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. Okay, well, we do have some announcements, so we have a few adult enrichment offerings this morning, so please refer to your order of worship, order of service for the class locations. So Sunday service reflections and spring planting will occur during second hour. Also, there's no playgroup or RE. However, the fidget shelf is available to my right, and the nursery is open in Fellowship Hall for children 3 years and under. And now Kathy and Ellie Lansdowne would like to make an announcement about RE.
Next week is our end of year party, May 21st. There will be pizza, games, and a bouncy house. Yeah! Come join us, bring some friends, and be prepared to have a great time. There will be junior and senior youth bounce time for 10 minutes at 11:30 and adult bounce time for 10 minutes at 11:40. A volunteer sign up will follow this coming week as we finalize plans. This is also the last day of playgroup until RE starts in August. The following RE party, there will be the congregational meeting from 12 to 1 p.m. The bouncy house will be available for use during playgroup and the congregational meeting. Let us know if you have any questions. See you there.
Happy Mother's Day. There we go. It is something that we say every year on the second Sunday of May. And we celebrate with flowers and cards, candy and brunch. That's what we do today. That's what today is all about. Simple, straightforward, today is the day we celebrate Mom. I started this morning by calling my mom. She and I are generally up before the sun, so we had a chance to chat for a bit. I'm very lucky to still have my mother. She's in her 80s, although you'd never guess it by looking at her. When we visit together, those early morning conversations are usually while walking her current exercise path. We walk, we talk a lot, I learn a lot, I listen a lot, she listens to me. It was on one of those walks a couple years ago, my mother confessed to me that she was having severe anxiety about living on Seabrook Island near Charleston, so far away from family. You see, at that point, several of my parents' friends had passed away, and Mom watched the surviving spouses alone, far away from family, and she knew she couldn't bear it if something like that happened to her or my dad. I listened, we talked. I reached out to my sister, and although it took some serious coercion, we convinced my dad that moving to Richmond, Virginia, where my sister lives, was the right choice. And it was. And they are happy there, and when I visit her there now, we walk, and we talk, and we listen. And when I'm walking and talking with my mom, I think about her mom, Grandma. Mom is so much like her. Walking and talking has been that mode for that side of my family for, well, always. Sometimes it would be a big group, my mom and her siblings, and sometimes the grandkids as a group, and every now and then, you'd be lucky enough to walk with my grandma by herself. And walk and laugh and talk and listen. And I still talk with my grandma sometimes when I'm walking. What I remember about her most is reading to us as kids. Whenever they'd come visit, she'd bring a new book. And every night she'd read to my sister and I. And there was one particular book that I will never forget. It's called That Quail Robert. It's a story about a woman who adopted an orphaned quail and made it part of the family. It was a good book, and my grandma could really read a story. She was a school teacher, and it came naturally to her. You could lay there and really picture the story in your head. What I remember most about that book is that grandma stopped reading with about two chapters left. We still had days before their visit ended, but she left the end for my mother to read to us, which of course she did. And I remember my mother lovingly cursing my grandmother for leaving the last two chapters for her to read, which I won't ruin for you by telling you the ending if you want to read it for yourself, but suffice to say, there were many, many tears were shed as we sat on my sister's bed listening. My dad's mom, Mana, as I called her, I was close to her too. She always introduced me as her boy, her other boy. I was the first grandchild of the family and a male, so that made me special. I visited with her a lot too, and I remember being really upset with her because when I would go out and play when I was younger, and it was windy out, which it often was in Northern Illinois, she would put one of those old lady nylon scarves on my head so I wouldn't get an earache. I hated that scarf, but I know now she did it to protect me, and looking back at it now, I smile. She never read to me. That wasn't what she did. She was a simple woman. And after my paternal grandfather died, I remembered getting up early in the mornings on my visits, and she would be sitting at the kitchen table, smoking a cigarette and drinking coffee, like she was waiting for my grandfather, Poppy, to walk through the door. What I didn't know about her until much later was she didn't like my sister and treated her with, well, disdain. But I also know that she was passing it down. As a child of tenant farmers in the Midwest, a girl wasn't worth much, and she was meant to feel it. So my sister was meant to feel the same. That makes me sad, because I love my Mana. But unlike my maternal grandmother, these days I don't find myself talking to her very much. I am lucky this Mother's Day. My mother is still with me, and I have a wonderful relationship with her, and the memories of my grandmothers are, for the most part, very, very positive and uplifting. I am lucky. Some are not. We talk about mother in so many different ways. Mother can refer to the person who gave birth to us. It can be the person who raised us. We refer to Mother Earth. We play games like Mother May I. There is so much attached to the idea of mother and mothering, and it's not simple. It's not easy. I posted within a group this morning on Facebook that I was presenting the Mother's Day sermon this morning, and one of the other ministers who I'm friends with said, "Ooh, I hope you're recording it. Mother's Day sermons are not easy." And she's right. But I look at this congregation and I love seeing all the incredible mothers who are sitting here and those of you who are at home. I ask myself, what more can I possibly say about Mother's Day? I mean, although I was a single father for a good portion of my kids' lives, and many people within this congregation would wish me happy Mother's Day during that time. But even so, I'm not a mother and will never be. As I said, I am lucky. I have a good relationship with my mother, and it's never been anything but loving and strong. But I watch my sons as they struggle with defining their relationship with their mother. One struggles with even communicating with her. The other dotes on her as best he can, but still struggles. I don't want that for them, but they're not alone. Yes, writing a sermon for Mother's Day is not easy at all. So, As is custom for anyone speaking from a pulpit in the UU Church, when you feel inadequate and having something actually meaningful to say when delivering the sermon, I will now give you some facts. Outside of the Christmas and Hanukkah season, Mother's Day is the single most commercially successful holiday, with spending exceeding $25 billion, with a B, a year. And those are 2019 numbers, $25 billion. Here's some other facts. The idea of the modern Mother's Day came from a woman, not President Woodrow Wilson, who gets undue amount of credit because he signed the holiday into law. But Anna Reeves Jarvis is the one who is most credited with the idea of Mother's Day. She wanted to honor her late mother. It should also be known that Jarvis died regretting the whole idea because of becoming so commercialized. In an article written in April of 2020 on goodhousekeeping.com, she is quoted as saying, "To have Mother's Day, the burdensome, wasteful, expensive gift day that Christmas and other special days have become, is not our pleasure," she said in 1920, according to Nat Geo. If the American people are not willing to protect Mother's Day from the hordes of money schemers that would overwhelm it with their schemes, then we shall cease having a Mother's Day, and we know how. Anne Reeves Jarvis died penniless in a sanitarium, having spent all of her money fighting the commercialism of Mother's Day. And poet Juliet Ward Howe, whose words so reminded me of our opening hymn, is also credited with the foundation of the holiday, having suggested it years earlier. She wanted a day for mothers to gather and promote peace. Quoting from the same article, Howe called for women to gather once a year in parlors and churches and social halls to listen to sermons, present essays, sing hymns, or pray if they wished, all in the name of promoting peace. So at least we got the sermon, maybe the prayer part right today. Also, as our last fact, the white carnation is the official flower of Mother's Day. So there you go. Those are your Mother's Day facts for this Sunday, May 14th, 2023. Mother's Day is not easy. And I have a confession to make. Since I left grade school, I can honestly count on one hand the number of times I've sent my mother flowers or a gift on Mother's Day. I can't tell you the last time I sent her a card. I love my mother and I want her to be celebrated. So back when I was in college, I sat down with her and we talked. I apologized to her for being a less than adequate son and I strive to do better. She looked at me and smiled and said, "You don't need to do anything. You call me every year, and just hearing your voice is all I need." So I took that to heart, and like every year, as I said, I called my mom this morning, and we got to talk, just the two of us. We talked about my upcoming move, my school, my work, and the kids, all the things you talk about with someone who means something to you. And I told her I loved her and wished her a happy Mother's Day. And so this morning on this day, I want to do the same for you because this is a day for all mothers to be celebrated. So for all those who are mothers, you know who you are, happy Mother's Day. For those of you who helped me raise my children in this space, when I didn't think I could go on and treated my children as their own, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. For the women who were not able to have children or who have lost children and are feeling the pain of that this morning, you are truly loved, and may you feel that love from all of us today. Happy Mother's Day. For those of you who have pained relationships with their own mothers and for whom today isn't one you like to celebrate, you are loved, and know we are blessed because you are here with us. Happy Mother's Day. For those who are raising or who have raised children on their own, either by choice or through circumstances, you too are loved. Happy Mother's Day. And for those who are waiting for their first baby to be born, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day isn't easy, no matter who you are or what your circumstances are. But just for today, we celebrate you and we love you. Amen. May it be so. To say it every time I'm here, thank you, Alex.
We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
For all the mothers and mother figures, the grandmothers, aunts, and extended family members who mother, to the soon-to-be mothers, the wish they were mothers, the never wanted to be mothers, the it's complicated mothers, the birth mothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, stepmothers, the used-to-be dad mothers, the more than one mom mothers, the single mothers, separated mothers, stay-at-home mothers, unhoused mothers, the grieving mothers, those who grieve their mothers, and those whose grief is complex, for all the communities that mother, for all those who depend on the Great Mother, you are held and beloved. Thank you.
This is ending. Thank you.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.